If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
All right, we continue our conversations around possibilities on these coalition arrangements. We're hearing murmurs, as you can hear. We're leaning towards some peaceful discussions. I think it's welcome, is it not? Let me hear from you, 086-000-00959. Well, in studio now, Michael Bormont has just joined us. He is Action SA National Chairperson. Thanks again for coming through. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. It's so good to be here in studio with you.
It really is lovely to have you in studio. So you've obviously been listening to all of that, as I said earlier, probably maybe 10 minutes before you got here, we got a press release from the MK party saying, okay, now they are considering discussions with the ANC party. Things are happening. How do you react to that?
It's hard to say. I think as a political party, they've been something of an enigma. And quite difficult to read, actually. Mm. But certainly, you know, if you look at MK and understand it a lot more as an attempted hostile takeover of the ANC, I think there's probably a great deal of suspicion as to any talks that they would want to have with the ANC. But I could tell you right now, I'm very grateful I'm in neither of those parties. And I'm very glad with the political choices I've made in life, because at the end of the day, I think where we sit and the clarity of purpose that we have going forward into this period of negotiations is very helpful from our point of view.
How do you make sense of the number of South Africans that actually did decide to pick the MK party, for instance, as well as the ANC? Quite clearly, political parties that you've just said, you know, you're happy you are nowhere near those political parties. Action SA has been very open about the fact that you wouldn't want to engage or have anything to do with the ANC. I'm suspecting you're saying the same thing about MK party too.
Yeah, I think in many ways for us, MK is just a more concentrated version of the problems that we have with the ANC. And I think from our point of view, it's a challenge. I mean, there's no question. We look at this election outcome and we look at the fact that the rational, reasonable center of South African politics didn't achieve what was expected in this election. And in many ways, the radical extremes or the identity politics of South Africa did well in this election. And it is, you know, you can easily allow yourself to be discouraged as a political leader. But, you know, we don't have that opportunity. We sometimes have to ask ourselves as leaders, do we want to be the politics of the day or do we want to be the politics of tomorrow? And at the end of the day, if the politics of today is that we must promote the idea that people's life support machine should be turned off at Rahima Musa, or that, you know, pregnant girls should be sent to Robben Island, and some of the other shocking ideas, quite frankly, that came out of parties that grew in this election, quite frankly, the slower path to growth is the way to go. And we must be patient and we must provide the leadership for the South Africa that should be, rather than the South Africa that may have manifested in this particular election.
Let's talk about the multi-party charter. You've made a pronouncement on that you obviously are no longer a part of it. The DA had come out of themselves saying, well, it no longer exists. Were you surprised by that announcement by the DA?
Well, certainly, Anne, but it seems like the DA has a very casual relationship with agreements that they sign. Had they bothered to read it, they would realize that the multi-party charter only comes to an end under certain circumstances, one of them being a unanimous resolution to dissolve it, the other being a party leaving the agreement, or the last being the superseding of the charter by a coalition agreement. Mm-hmm. None of those three things transpired at the point in time of the meeting we had with the multi-party charter on Saturday. And it felt like that meeting that they organized was something of a tick box exercise. They said that the first meeting they would have after the elections was with the charter. And in the meeting, they had nothing to say. So here you are talking about what pathways exist for coalition in South Africa. Bearing in mind, in provinces like Gauteng, the multi-party charter is bigger than the ANC. And in the world of minority coalition government potentially being a realistic outcome, the complete disinterest in pursuing any path was very clear to us that the plans with the ANC were well underway. Don't believe for one moment anything the DA has said, that this is a sudden, drastic, last-minute measure they're taking to, quote-unquote, rescue South Africa. The DA has been talking about this scenario since 2019, and that is why when they signed an agreement that ruled out working relationships with the ANC, we went into an arrangement, albeit watchfully. And I think in many ways, the concerns that we have ventilated with the South African people have been shown to be true.
If the the DA has been speaking of this scenario since 2019, which many may have seen this. Why did you think this was going to work?
Well, you know, you have these moments in political parties where perhaps leaders come in and provide leadership and a change of direction. And what we saw after many utterances of plans with the ANC was leadership from the DA that, you know, announced that they wanted to get these parties together, that we convened and we signed an agreement. And it wasn't an agreement signed in closed rooms. It was an agreement with
very
you.
Public.
KFM
very,
was
very
there,
public.
I remember.
Very public.
You know, probably one of the largest press conferences I've ever attended. And it was publicly presented to the South African people that these parties would, quote unquote, not entertain working relationships with the ANC. There was no qualification put on that, by the way. So what happened then is that these parties went and campaigned on that promise, winning votes all the time on that promise. And when you members of the media put the spotlight and tried to get them to answer that question, they ducked and they dived and they evaded. And yet now, with the votes that they have won around the idea of rescuing South Africa, they are mooting the handing over of those same votes from the very to the very party from whom we need rescuing. And for us, this is the fraud that has been perpetrated on the South African people. But, you know, we've taken a philosophy as Action SA that our leaving this charter is the very best thing for us. We have been a very young political party that's had to jump into shark-infested waters of multi-party dynamics. And actually what we need is a period of time going forward where we can stand on our 2 feet. We can be the Action SA we were always meant to be and not be tethered to parties with the kind of baggage that the DA brings and the toxicity that they bring. You can imagine you're sitting there as a multi-party charter partner and your partners are burning images of the South African flag.
But to be fair, you've seen these tendencies from the DA in your arrangements in local government, both here in specifically Johannesburg, a little bit of that in other parts of Gauteng. So are you genuinely surprised?
Well, you know, in hindsight, I suppose one can always see it that way. But, you know, in the moment when people are sitting down and they're signing agreements and they're making those agreements public to the South African people at well-attended press conferences, you think to yourself, well, surely they can't go and betray their own word here. Surely the cost of doing so would be too severe. And yet here we are. That betrayal has taken place of the South African people. But at the end of the day, we must be clear, that betrayal is to the South African people, not to us. We didn't sign agreements to other political parties. We signed agreements to South Africans. And at the end of the day, it's the South African people who, when they go out to vote just 2 years from now, by the way, the next local government election, they must express their voice as to whether or not their votes were betrayed in this election or not. We're very confident about the agreement we signed. We're very confident about our consistency on that particular position and the fact that we've honored the votes we've received and we've done with them what we said to the South African people we would do with them.
Michael Borman is in studio with me. I'm going to take your calls if you like, 086-000-0959, or you can send me a voice note on 063-688-0959. All right, thank you so much for staying with us. I just want to tell you that we are just waiting for the president to sit and give an address in a few minutes, I think. I just want to make sure that has he already started or not started. I suspect that he's going to give us an address on the IEC
attitude towards corruption, because
list that's been finalized. So I'll just get heads up when that has already started, and then we'll cross there to the president just now. But Michael Borman's still with me, Action SA chairperson. Michael, so have the parties that actually came together in the multi-party charter sans the DA now, are they now in some sort of an arrangement?
Well, I mean, to be dead honest with you, we aren't entirely sure what was left behind. I think the best part about the decision we've made is very soon I cannot really be expected to talk on behalf of those political parties, which will be a welcome change. Because from our point of view, the last we witnessed was a meeting at which the DA and the IFP were exploring seriously coalition deals with the ANC. And bizarrely to us, some of the other political parties were just simply mute on the topic. We can't work out why they were. It's not for us to really speak for them. But we were at pains to say that, you know, it's clear the charter hasn't achieved a majority. If parties want to go and pursue a deal with the ANC, they can go ahead and do so. That's between them and their voters. But then they must leave the charter. They must resign from the charter and pursue what they want to do. And the strangest part is they didn't want to resign from the charter, which is weird because they're talking about it having dissolved and yet they're not leaving it. And at the same time, you know, they are wanting to pursue talks with political parties that are not permissible in terms of the charter. So it really is a strange thing. There was talk about even a meeting happening this evening. So clearly people are playing a bit fast and loose with the idea of whether it exists or not. But like I said, it's ever so good for us to be able to move away from that mess and to be able for Action SA to be its own party, unencumbered by these kind of partnerships.
Is Action SA independently speaking to anyone right now?
No. Action SA has taken the position that the most important role we can play in a parliament where the opposition is currently doing a deal with the government is that we need to be a strong opposition.
Gotcha.
As a matter of fact, we are going to begin reaching out to other political parties that are not going to form part of a GNU or whatever it's going to be called to see if we can collaborate around that space in parliament. Because if you can imagine the corruption and malfeasance that has taken place, particularly in the last 20 years of ANC governance, imagine what it will be like when the opposition is now compromised and conflicted and having to make the choice between whether to expose something and endanger this government or to do what they're supposed to do as an opposition. And I think we need an unconflicted opposition in the South African Parliament. And we've taken the decision that we need to make sure that our six members of Parliament feel like 60 in there, because they're going to have to fight.
Let me take a quick call from Bongani in Soweto. Thanks so much for calling, Bongani. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Kambo, and good evening to Pramike. The quick question is that, Pramike, the leader of Action SA, you know very well, it was once being the premier of City of Joburg. But now, however, due to his presence of the running the seat, he used to run the city the way he used to run, and the things that he implemented, others, he just sanctioned them and all that. And based on the coalition of the city through based different parties, the city has been having a challenge of development and the progress to upgrade the city of Johannesburg. Now, looking at the coalition, the possible coalition that might take place nationally, comparing the challenges and the difficulties of municipality on its own, how do you foresee the progress of South Africa for South Africans, looking at the coalition of chances of ANC colliding with the EFF and the IFP? How do you foresee the progress and the future of South Africa for South Africans? And what advice would you give to those parties who will make the coalition?
Mr. Morgan?
Sure, I tell you, your listeners ask the really tough questions, because that's the crystal ball into which everyone's trying to look right now. But, you know, certainly, you know, it is the case that under Herman Mashaba, I think Johannesburg enjoyed a period of progress that it has never had since. And what it says to the South African people is leadership matters. You can have political parties with whatever track record they claim to have, but if you don't have the leaders with the maturity to play the team sport of coalition, and you rather have individuals, you won't succeed in the world where team sports are required in a coalition. And I think that is an important dynamic. I do want to say, and it's at least perhaps me being an optimistic South African, because, you know, South Africans, we like to try and be optimistic, is that no political party is missing the point that importing the local government experience of coalition nationally is not going to be appreciated by the South African people. And even in opposition, we are very clear, as Action SA, that we're now talking about this idea of a constructive opposition. So that if good proposals come before us that serve the South African people, we don't mind from whom they come, we support them. Yeah. And if they are bad proposals that don't serve them, we must oppose them.
Talk to us about your decision as Action SA for yourself and Herman Mashaba not to go to Parliament.
Well, it's unusual in South Africa because, quite frankly, in South Africa, political leaders just leap at the first opportunity to climb on the gravy train of the South African taxpayer. But, you know, we are a unique organization, and particularly in being led by someone like Herman Mashaba, who doesn't need the money to be in politics. He's made his fortunes through growing businesses, and politics is something he is passionate about rather than depends on. And for that reason, we've taken a look at having six members of parliament who are going to need to be the unofficial opposition because of the reasons that I've mentioned earlier. And we don't have time for people who can only do a bit of work in parliament while they're running around campaigning around the country. We need people who are going to serve on many committees and feel like the team of 50 or 60. That means full-time people. And, you know, a good thing I think about the institutional culture of Action SA is that we recognize the team sport of politics. Mm. We've got very good people on that list going. You can imagine people like Athol Trollope, who's been the leader of the opposition, people like Dr. José Leclape and his background in health, Lerato Ngobeni, Darylene James, really quality people who are going to serve South Africans in ways that larger parties simply can't. And Herman and I need to focus on the work of growing this party for the very short turnaround to a local government election in 2 years. And I think one of the most interesting things about where we are right now is to understand the dynamic that, yes, we are focusing on a national political situation playing out, but you can't lose focus on the fact that the greatest issues facing South Africans right now are mostly municipal. It is a municipal collapse that is causing our water not to flow, our power not to come on, our roads to break, and many communities to live in sewage, quite frankly. And local government has become the basket case of South Africa. And change in 2026 is going to be as important as this election now.
Absolutely. Slumko is calling us from Soweto. Good evening and welcome, Slumko.
Evening, Pemi.
Good evening. Yes. Welcome.
Yes. My comment will be that I think Action SA has been humbled, just like Julius Malema, because I think Mr. Mashaba, he thought that is a big fish. Since, well, he has done well in the local government. So he thought he's going to do the same in the provincial and national government. So that being humbled, that's why no one is calling him, because they are shutting everybody, especially the ANC, the EFF, to say they are not interested in talking to them. Is that right? So their own DA is showing them their true colors to say that they want to stay in power, including IFP, they want to go way forward. So you must learn that in politics, you don't shut the doors to everybody and say, I'm not going to be working with that. Because at this point in time, the voters are saying to South Africa, to these political parties, work together for us, not for yourselves. It's not about your egos. It's not about who you are. How did you perform? Julius Malema is saying the ANC is the biggest loser. It's correct. But it doesn't acknowledge the fact that he lost some votes. Even himself has been humbled. At least the ANC has acknowledged the fact that the voters are saying to them, we cannot govern alone. Work with other political parties. As for the MKP, they must also, the President Zuma, because I was of the view that the MKP will work with the ANC and EFF. But the way President Zuma is behaving lately, I don't think I'm happy, in the sense that at some point he's talking about Kuzo Moshega, he's insinuating violence sometimes, now dragging his feet, they're saying they don't want to talk to the ANC. Who else are they going to talk to? They are not interested in being sworn in to this seventh parliament. So even they must stop playing games, because this is not about egos. No one has won outrightly. So they must sit down on the table and work together. That's all I can say. Thanks.
Slumko, just maybe if you don't mind, did you go and vote?
Yes, I did vote.
And are you happy with your political party? Or do you want to tell us who you voted for? You don't have to. Well, I'm just asking.
I was torn between the hard place and the rock. I decided to say that, you know what, the party that represents us as Africans, the broad church is the ANC. Why not? But also, I respect what the South Africans have said, because I must say, issue of load shedding, unemployment, high crime level, also squarely, it should be blamed on the door of the ANC or shoulders of the ANC. So it's a fair result. I'm not disappointed as such. Hence, I'm saying that all these parties, Zuma might do well this time, but at some point, come 2029, mm-hmm. they might get different votes. EFF started like this. They were hired there to say, no, if you want us, you'll call us, this, that. But now, I think now they are reaching the ceiling. The ANC, if they're not getting their act together, the people will totally reject them. Let me stop there. Thanks.
Zumko, interesting, Michael?
Yeah, I think a lot of good points. And certainly, for what it's worth, we are a humble organization. We were the very first to stand up publicly in the results center and say this wasn't the result we were looking for. And that we are very keen to go and engage the South African people and the structures of Action SA across the board so that we can ensure that the campaigns we roll in the future do speak to the hearts and minds of people. But I think you've also got to recognize that in this election, very few parties got the result that we're looking for. In fact, in many ways, this election was best described by one commentator as the election of tears. And it really was about how many tears political parties were crying as a result. But, you know, from our point of view, I think the misnomer we need to address here is that the only way to represent your voters is to be in government. In fact, we're looking at a scenario where the older political parties that clearly have amassed more support in this election are going to be fighting over coalition arrangements. And it is a perfectly noble cause to turn around and say, in that environment, a party like Action SA and perhaps working with others needs to form a strong and independent and unconflicted opposition. That is serving the South African people just as much as a party that goes into government. In fact, I would say in an environment of a government of national unity, where only two parties are required for a majority and the rest are quite frankly window dressing and extraneous, you would serve the South African people more in opposition than you would quite frankly by hanging on to a government of national unity for whatever perks of government those parties are looking for.
So you're already on your campaign for 2026, I'm assuming.
Yeah, permanently. I mean, it's a horrible thing to say because we still haven't even gotten rid of the sleep deficit from last week. And it's almost like, you know, a bit traumatic to think about. Yeah. But yeah, we have to be because the South African people are living in the most appalling circumstances because of their municipalities. And very few people are focusing on this issue. When in real terms, you know, the dynamic at municipal level is what is affecting the lives of South Africans, I would say almost the most out of any level of government right now. And certainly a lot can be done. And I think South Africans are also a lot more open to driving change at a local government level than they are at a national level. Mm. We ourselves were looking at a dynamic where we received tens of thousands of more votes on the provincial ballot than we did on the national ballot. We're going to have to go and understand why that is the case because we want people to see us as an option on all three ballots in the future. But what that says is South Africans like their action local. And we're going to have to make sure that we serve it up strongly in this election.
Wonderful talking to you. And as you said, you know, I don't know when you're going to get that sleep because we're going to be up. The president is very soon going to be telling us what that meeting brought about, the NEC meeting that he's attended. So looking forward to your engagement. Thank you very much, Michael, for coming through.
Fantastic. Really, it was great to be here.
Michael Bormann is Action SA national spokesperson. And I'm so sorry. Did I call you a spokesperson? No, I meant chairperson. Appreciate you coming through.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.